remember the belt of Orion. And remember the guy standing on top of this one? He's standing on top of this little pyramid. And he's taking an eyeball. He puts his little eyeball up here and he takes a line of sight over top of this one all the way to the horizon. Right? And there is Orion coming up, the real Orion coming up on the horizon. Just the belt, just showing over the horizon. And the line points exactly, standing on the middle one, the line points exactly to the middle one. That's called being in. That's you. That's us. That's where we are. We're in the right place at the right time. And you remember that there are three dates involved. Without going into all the details, there is three dates come to pass at that point. And the most significant one for us, of course, if you remember, is the one is up here, and there's two down here. But the one significant for us here, a timeline, this one is B.C. 13,000. No, it's 13,000 years ago, which would be 11,000 B.C., right? Something like that. 11,000 B.C. and 21st, 2012. Do you like that? That's the other significant date to this. These guys built these pyramids. I mean, we couldn't build them today. Some civilization came along, built these beautiful, huge pyramids to impress, to show a picture of a date. Two dates. The whole thing was about these two dates. So that the people that would be alive on December 21st, 2011 would have a kind of an anchor that these aren't just nice ideas floating up in their heads. But they are people that have been sent to this planet for this moment of time in connection with us others who have gone before. All at once they're going to make the connection. There's enough of us now on both sides of the river, right?
To change the heavens.
Huh? To change the heavens. What are the heavens that are being changed? Are the thought modalities that control the dimension of humankind.
Amen.
Woo! And some of you will start vibrating. Uncontrollably, spontaneously, just so that the rest of us would know there's something going on beyond our control. That we can't control, that we may not control, we need to give ourselves to.
Yes.
Manifesting that.
Awesome.
Right in our midst. Right?
Believe it.
There's a vibration going on that we need to give ourselves to in this moment of time. That upon whom the climax of ages has come. Right? Now, about this is called the dark side, right? The night side. This is night, 13,000 years of it, and this is the day. Now, Jesus said, you're the children of the day, but you're asleep in the night. So, he says, Jesus comes along here. About 2,000 years ago, he came along and he says, these people are going to wake up. They need to wake up, but they can't wake up by themselves. They need an alarm clock. They need something to vibrate them, something to wake them up. And I will be that. I will take it upon myself to act them out.
Awesome.
Right? I'll show them a picture. I'll show them a picture of who they are in 3.5 years. 3.5 years he spent on this planet. There's his childhood. He went to India. He went everywhere. And who knows what happened to him. The mystery of his existence. But 3.5 years he acted on a stage. He acted out a picture for the Son of Man. Right? He acted out this picture. But that Son of Man that he's acting out is coming at this point. At this point is what's called, it is called the awakening of man. Right? It's the resurrection, the awakening of mankind, of the Son of Man. That's what this is. This is the awakening point out of the night into the day. What is that awakening? Well, here it is. And Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and Lynn had something to say about that. A place where the coast, where the sea, the ocean meets the land. It's where two realities merge. It's the merging or the meeting of two realities. Yeah, the water and the land, see? Consciousness and incarnation. The meeting of worlds, just like the cross is a meeting of worlds, right? It's the intersection of two, time and space, the intersection where spirit and matter meet together, right? There's all kinds of wonderful things about that. Well, and he said, he came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, who do man say that I, the Son of Man, am? There it is, right there. That's everything I've said. He came to pose this question into human consciousness. Who is mankind? And he was willing to take it all on himself. He was willing to be the one individual so that this question could be rocked. This question could be rocked and could... He was willing to take whatever he would have to go through to be willing to ask this question to mankind and to bear the result of that in his own body, see? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elias, other Jeremiah, so they all believed in reincarnation, apparently, of those. He was the spirit of those individuals. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And how did they get to the awareness? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Messiah. And the Messiah in Hebrew, in Jewish tradition and understanding, was the one they're all waiting for. It was going to bring the kingdom, it was going to deliver them from the Romans, it was going to restore all things. Isaiah is full of it, Jeremiah, the prophets all speak of that individual that would come, and he was called the Messiah. And he said, you are the Messiah. And he didn't mean some Messiah, or one of many Messiahs. He says, the Messiah, the one that all Israel's waited for all these centuries, you are that one. And Jesus said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because the only way you could know this is because you have a revelation from your Father. And guess what? That's the only way we can know each other. Isn't that nice? That's the only way you can know each other. So, when you get offended or defended or interoffended, how many ways are there? Right?
Lots of ways.
Lots of ways. Just forget it, because you're never going to know it that way. It's going to have to happen to you. Somehow in your soul, something's got to wake up. Hey, I am a part of a Christ here. There's a Christ formation here at Oakville, Missouri. It came out of heaven. It lives in the bodies of the people here, but I'm part of this Christ formation. And what am I going to do about it? Right? Well, he goes on to say, thou art Peter, and so on. Let's skip that. Now, way on down here. Then said Jesus to his disciples, now, I'm sorry now, if you're looking for one man to follow, you're too late. You know, you should have been here 2,000 years ago. Is it where? Yeah. Because any one man in your eyes will fail.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Because why? Because you want to follow another because you're not willing to own it yourself. You want to follow somebody else. Somebody else tell you the truth. Somebody else tell you how to go, how to walk, how not to do, how to do. Because you don't want to own that Christ. That Christ needs to be owned. No longer in a single individual. It was never meant to be a single individual. He came as a single individual so that the corporate man could know that he was Christ. By watching this one and see everything that happens to him will happen to you as an individual, but more important, collectively. Right? All right, so, if any man will come after me, if any man will want to know this eternal Christ, let him deny himself, or let him say to himself, what I think myself to be, I am not. I am not that, and because I'm not what I think myself, I can stand in the middle, and I can say, well, I felt just like a schoolgirl, because it's not what I am. I am saying no to the lie of every perception that humankind's ever put in me about myself, and I'm laying it down, deny himself. Well, you mean you won't drink or booze or chase skirt or... What do girls do when they chase skirt? Chase skirt?
Chase jeans. Some girls chase girls.
Huh? For whatever... Now listen. Yeah. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life... And in some small way, you give yourself to something greater than yourself. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Maybe it was the perception of immortality. Maybe it was the perception of what a community might be. Whatever, doesn't really matter. But it was something greater than what you thought you could be yourself. See? So if it will lose, because hey, God will save you. He'll make your picture bigger for you when you need it. For what is a man profiteth if he would gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what is your soul? That's, I did all, everything I've done here because I want to try and say what our soul is. Don't you love it? What is my soul? Well, here is what your soul is. Your soul. And remember now, you're representative of humankind. The whole object is for humankind not to lose their soul, but to gain their soul. The whole object is for you are a small group of individuals called Christ that have been sent to the planet for December the 21st, 2012 and the portals surrounding that time frame. And you are being lowered into human consciousness because you are going to get a thought. And that thought is going to vibrate you. And you're going to give yourself to that thought. You're going to own it, bring it into the flesh, empower it. And it'll change the dynamic on this planet. Woo! God, that is feel awesome. All right. Here is what your soul is. Here's the great all. And the great all was just the one. So, he's alone. He was alone, right?
All alone.
And he had a thought. And he thought, well, what if there was more of me? What if there was another? And he went and he had a thought. Procreation. Thought procreation.
He became pregnant
with a thought. He impregnated himself with a thought. How good is that? Thank you, Gary. That's how dangerous thoughts are. How wonderful they are.
That's what causes it.
I know God wanted somebody to act this out, so we now have bodies and we act this out. But there was thought procreation before there was ever body procreation. right? So it was a thought procreation. And this multiplicity, plurality of thought procreation through an agency called the Divine Feminine, I don't want to leave that out because it is so beautiful. We don't want to, we haven't got time to talk about that, right? The Divine Feminine. Through the Divine Feminine, this thought procreation produces a myriads of little thought creations, TC, a thought creation, that goes down, until this thought creation takes on a body here. Little stick man. And embodies itself in a form. It goes into the world of form, and the reason it comes there is it wants to create experience. One of the experiences it wants to create is fear. It's doubt that you're loved. It's pain. All the things you want to avoid are very, very, very much part of this great eternal journey of thought procreation to bring you into form. And then this thing here, this body with this thought procreation going on, a conception of being, right? This conception of being is your soul. It's your great treasure. It's the great treasure that was given in the very, very origin of things. The treasure, thought procreation, is your embodied in your soul, comes on now, takes on a form, and it has to make a choice. And now, this is true of you individually, but it's true of all of man. This is what's really happening to all mankind. Mankind is having to make a shift. It's going to have to accept something. It's going to have to think something. It's going to have to own something. It's going to have to own a reality about itself. Not just about the world and about cosmos and about aliens and about crystals and all kinds of stuff, but deep in its own soul, every individual needs to own what is that thought. And the thought is simply, I exist. I am real. I'm not a wooden puppet. I'm not just a wooden puppet. I'm a real boy. I'm not just the product of some alien procreation that happened on this planet from the Anunnaki. I'm not just an invention product of evolution coming up out of the slime of the ocean. No! I am a thought projection of the eternal self, undivided self, procreating itself in me as I am. And the moment I own my existence, he becomes alive. The moment I accept my existence, he lives in me. That's the great shift. That's the great awakening. The great awakening of this planetary journey. Well, yeah, the planet's going to shift. It's going to go into an age of enlightenment. And there's all kinds of levels that people will talk to you about this shift. And they're all probably true in some way. But the great shift is you can only read in your own soul. You can't find it in a book. You can't find it in all the... You can read all the downloading of all the projected material. What do they call it? Channeled material. And you can read the Holy Bible. And you can learn all the Greek and all the Hebrew. Now listen to the greatest preachers. But really, it's not there. It's not in what I'm saying. It's in your own soul. Don't you love it? And it's not really even in Jesus. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. What? To you. To you on that, so that you can own your own existence. You can say this, you can begin to do this, and once you do it, once you trigger this, once a body of people this triggered this chemical soul reaction in the psyche of man, triggered this process, it will bloom. It will bloom, I promise you, it will bloom. And the great harvest of God will begin. The great harvest of God. So that's my limited perception of 2012. And we want to have a party. Maybe we'll get caught away. Maybe something will happen and the sky will roll back and we'll understand. Somehow our souls will be illumined and the darkness will pass away and we'll understand. And I, you know what the result will be? We would just absolutely love each other. We would be so wonderful, thankful for each other. We'll forget all about the things we want to fix about each other. We will. We're just so thankful to be the Christ together for the sake of all mankind, for the sake of the common. We'll be so, so happy about that. We'll just be caught up in that joy, and that's already kind of happening to me this morning. All right. Hallelujah. Well, it's the morning
of the third day,
and I'm rising again. The angels who attended have rolled the stone away, and the watchmen who were sleeping have all gone astray, and the grave, it can't hold me anymore. Behold my hands, behold my feet, it is I myself. A spirit hath no flesh and bone, as you see me to have. Put your hand in my wound, that you might believe. Well, I'm a body, not just spirit anymore. Mm-mm.